For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT. TNT.
And welcome to the Mike Ryan Show. I'm filling in for Mike today. My name is Nicola Charles. You may know me as the White Rabbit on my social media. And it's really nice to be asked to fill in on TNT Radio as we go through these troublesome times. We've got some fascinating guests coming up for you in the next couple of hours. But it's really extraordinary, isn't it, to hear someone like Justin Trudeau say in the same breath that he supports peaceful protests, but that protests must not be used to try and, what was it he said, change government policy? I'm sorry, I really thought that's what protests were supposed to do. You know, I'm quite concerned with, and I talk about this a lot on my own social media, I'm quite concerned with the level of spying that's going on innocent citizens. And when you look at the way things are going with the digital rollout, the kinds of things that are being discovered about people's private lives are something that would have required probably a warrant in the past, I would have imagined, a warrant to go into their lives in such a way. And we don't seem to require any of that anymore. You're able to track people. You're able to see what's going on in their smartphone devices. I saw a clip the other day that made it very clear that when you're asked to do that thing, that very particular thing, and prove you're not a robot, what you're actually doing when you click those boxes and it says click all the boxes with a motorbike, what you're actually doing is you're giving them permission to look at your recent browsing history. I'm not sure that everyone's fully aware of that. And again, this is something that in the past you needed a warrant to be able to do. Now, when I arrived back in Australia in 2012, I was very aware of the Privacy Act of 1988. Where are all the privacy acts of 1988? More importantly, where are all the lawyers? Where's the justice system to question what's going on with governments? They seem to be acting as if there's a warrant out on every single person in the country, and that's just not the case. I'm really amazed, actually, that now some of the revelations have emerged about what we have been told is healthcare in Australia. I'm really surprised that some of the people who adhered to mandates are not on the streets, if not about the loss of privacy with the vaccine sort of digital IDs and all of the information that they gather. People seem to have forgotten that we had a news report that came from Western Australia towards the end of the depths of the pandemic, where the police admitted that all of the information that was gathered had actually been hacked, was actually not private anymore, and none of us can rely on it when they say it's safe. And that seems to be the case in healthcare as well. So who can we believe and what can we believe? Well, it's very hard to find an outlet for freedom of speech, isn't it? Obviously, TNT Radio is one of those outlets. But generally, we are censored at every turn. And I have to say, even though someone like Tucker Carlson on Fox News does try and bring the truth to you, he has to be so very careful because, of course, Fox News is owned by Disney. So unless you're checking in with TNT Radio, I'm actually not sure where people are getting the truth or if they're able to get the truth. Yesterday, I was given, after a good long run on Twitter as the White Rabbit, I was actually given a 12-hour ban. And I was given that 12-hour ban for satire because I was commenting on some of the figures that were coming out, stating very clearly government stats that the birth rates across Australia dramatically dropped about 9 months after the vaccine rollout. No one seems to be questioning it. We don't have any politicians at the podium giving us any comments on that. And I said a naughty little tweet, it was satire, that maybe we should seek legislation to have the members of the World Economic Forum sterilized. But it seems the algorithms on Twitter have not changed their policy, despite the fact that the COVID vaccine misinformation policy was apparently updated on November 23rd. So I messaged Elon Musk this morning as soon as I was able to with my account and asked him to please adjust those algorithms to compensate for satire. I'm British. I'm not the only Brit on Twitter. And if we lose satire, if we're not able to use satire to get through this period in history, we will see what we are now clearly seeing again from government stats in the UK, is that you have an awful lot of young people with mental health issues. It's going to be something that we are going to need to address. And I hope very soon that satire comes back as a trend. So now I'm going to throw over to Jeremy Beck with some TNT news for you.
Hello, Nicola. Good to be with you. I had a story which you may have there, and this is actually related to your opening, which is really good. The EU's Internal Market Commissioner, Terry Breton, on Wednesday demanded tougher censorship, reportedly warning that Twitter might be banned if it doesn't comply with EU laws. So I think this is an important story, Nicola, because Elon Musk, he has pledged to run a more fair and transparent Twitter that won't interfere with elections. But the EU's Internal Market Commissioner, as I said, Breton, he on Wednesday, he demanded this tougher censorship, reportedly warning that the platform might be banned if it doesn't obey with the EU's laws. Now, I think This is a concern, because already Twitter, Elon Musk has made it much better for sure, but already he's banning people like Alex Jones. You know, what do you think of Alex Jones? I think he still deserves his freedom of speech. He's made some mistakes. So many people do make mistakes. But, you know, now we've got this situation where there's a new law in the EU which they are going to use, the EU's Digital Services Act. And that's scheduled to come into force in 2024. And that could be used to ban Twitter, according to the EU. So Elon Musk, he tweeted on Wednesday, "Twitter has failed in trust and safety for a very long time and has interfered in elections. Twitter 2.0 will be..." It has, hasn't it?
That's like a red rag to a bull.
Yeah. And he said, "Twitter 2.0 will be far more effective, transparent, and even-handed." So this tweet was in response to former Twitter executive and ex-safety chief Yoel Roth, who said that Elon Musk's takeover of Twitter had made the company less safe. So I guess you have a fair few thoughts on the issue yourself, Nicola.
Yes, I do, because I feel like the walls are closing in on Twitter. And who knows, this plan is so long and so vast. Are we just watching theatre? You know, I don't want to believe that Elon Musk is part of this, but my teenage daughter tells me not to get sucked in and that he's one of the bad guys. But I don't want to believe that, because we're so desperate for a hero. I think that's why most people like Trump, I'll be honest with you. And again, you know, we can't be sure. So I feel like the walls are closing in, because you've got Apple and Apple Pay, and, you know, they got rid of Kanye West, and they're threatening at the App Store to get rid of Twitter. So is this sort of saying, because, you know, it's called the Digital Services Act, it's a law, are they saying that we've got freedom of speech until 2024, and then after that you can like it or lump it, you're either a lefty on social media or get off?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very big problem, because this Digital Services Act, it talks about all sorts of things that require content moderation. Now, content moderation, as far as I'm concerned, is just a euphemism for squashing freedom of speech. And we have to look at the details of that act, and it could be subject to, you know, various different amendments. Who knows? I mean, it's not coming into effect until... I mean, that's a couple of years away. But we don't have freedom of speech. We never really have. But in recent times, the censorship is just getting worse and worse. And the concentration of ownership of these forums that you know, people use. Twitter, they've used social media in general. The concentration of ownership has been a real problem, because the argument of the libertarians that would say, well, you know, those are private companies, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, private companies, they have a right to do what they want to do. But the problem there is that they're used by everyone, and that's really the medium, pretty much the only medium of communication where everyday citizens can get out there and express their ideas. So in effect, that is squashing freedom of speech, because there's no real other alternative. Of course, Donald Trump set up his own alternative to Twitter, and there are some like that, but they don't have as much reach. So yeah, it's a real problem. I see that it's going to be a continual battle to get ideas out there and to fight for freedoms. They won't come easily. They always have to be fought for. And we're in a time where, I, as you said before, I like to think that Elon Musk is on the side of right and justice. I have my doubts. Same with Donald Trump. Donald Trump, yes, too. I have my doubts there. But at least they are saying some good things. And yes, maybe that's what some of these people do. They try and play both sides. So maybe they have overall good intentions, but they think that to achieve a certain goal, they have to work with the enemy at the same time. Keep your enemies close to you is the idea.
Yeah, well, they're sort of handcuffed as well, I think. I think it's like, you know, I've been an actor for a very long time. I think it's like being a good film director, and a good film director is a good communicator. And what we see as good guys are just the guys that are the better communicators. They speak to us in ways and about things that we care about, and the rest of them don't seem to worry about that. And my concern with social media, particularly with Facebook, is that it was this giant CIA operation to get us to put our faces up there so we can have facial recognition. You put up there how many children you've got, how many pets you've got, where you're located, where you live, how you live your life. And I think they sort of gave us these tools so that we could share all this information about ourselves. And now they're sort of running backwards. They're, you know, they're like a mouse in a wheel. They're trying to back out of, well, we've created this town square, but now we need to get them out of there because we actually don't want them sharing all this information.
Yeah, good point. And the social media I see from the get-go, particularly Facebook and at the time MySpace, which doesn't seem to be much of a thing. Does MySpace actually exist? but in any case, I remember at the time when they were the new thing in town, and everyone was hopping on board, and I was warning people, hang on, these are controlled by intelligence agencies. They're just mass data harvesters, and yeah, there's a real agenda behind this to track and monitor, and it's a dangerous game. They can be used for useful purposes, and of course, a lot of us on our side of the freedom fight, we use Twitter all the time to get out a message. And I think Twitter, even before the Musk takeover, Twitter was a useful tool, you know, despite all the flaws, to get some messages across. Now it's better. It would be much better if there weren't arbitrary, you know, reinstatements along the lines of, oh, Alex Jones is too controversial. Well, I don't think so. I think Alex Jones, if he says something stupid, let him say something stupid, and then people can show it up where it is stupid. But actually, I think a lot of what Alex Jones said was correct. He made some silly mistakes, in my opinion, too. But nonetheless, you should be allowed to make those mistakes, and people can, you know, analyze those mistakes and see it for what it is.
Yeah, look, people. Of course, people are making mistakes, because what we're doing is we're scrabbling around in the dark, trying to find the truth. When you've been given this much misinformation by the powers that be, the powers that they made sure that we trusted over decades and decades, what choice do we have but to make mistakes as we try and work out the truth for ourselves? And I think, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that someone like Alex Jones can't say what he wants on social media, but we all have to listen to Yuval Harari and Klaus Schwab say the most terrifying things about putting chips in people's heads. And, you know, once you've accepted this gene-altering therapy, the world won't change, but you'll be changed. Let me tell you, I don't know a single vaccinated person who signed a piece of paper to say they accept gene therapy.
Mm. Yeah, good point. And it's also another thing is that there are many people on Twitter who really I consider war criminals, Tony Blair for one, and George Bush, these people who told lies about weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist and set off the series of regime change wars, all in response to 9/11 and the war on terror. And I'm a member of the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and I don't buy the official line, I certainly don't buy the war on terror. And these people who are behind this misinformation, and actually really it's disinformation, they're still walking free and they still have Twitter accounts.
Well, the Taliban has a Twitter account.
Mm.
I mean, that's extraordinary, isn't it? No Alex Jones, but the Taliban is fine. My goodness. All right. Thanks so much for that, Jeremy. I really appreciate it. We're going to take a really quick break on TNT Radio.
Rock legend Christine McVie, singer and keyboardist for Fleetwood Mac, has died at the age of 79.
The band released a statement saying she was truly one of a kind, special and talented beyond measure. She was the best musician anyone could have in their band and the best friend anyone could have in their life.
I want to be with you everywhere.
Absolute rock legend whose songs are among the best loved and biggest selling in music history.
Her accomplishments include multiple Grammy Awards and an induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Individually and together, we cherish Christine deeply and are thankful for the amazing memories we have.
To you, I'll never be cold.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
The Congo provides 60% of the world's cobalt. Children as young as 7 breathe in cobalt-laden dust so you can drive an electric vehicle.
We mandate that the truth be told.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to TNT Radio. This is Nicola Charles, the White Rabbit, standing in for Mike Ryan. I'm very honoured, Mike, having been interviewed by you the other day, so thanks for that. Now, apart from Chinese protests, recent important COVID-19 news will likely not make its way to the mainstream media. Ha ha, no surprise there. Now, Omar Khan is a global consultant who's advised clients in the US, the UK, Europe, South America, South Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Asia Pacific, and Australia. Very busy boy. He's advised on leadership, responses to opportunities, and crisis. His firm, EPL Global, seeks to convey better information for better decision making. Omar's blog can be found at uncommonwisdom.online. Omar also writes a regular column for Daily FT, which can be found on ft.lk. I hope I've said that right. I'm sure Omar will correct me. Hi, Omar. It's lovely to speak with you and nice to sort of e-meet you.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. And I actually heard some discussions that you've had with Mike in the past, and I really liked what you had to say. Can you tell me, how are you feeling now that we're seeing this awful footage, and more power to the people getting this footage out of China, because obviously they take a big risk in doing that. What do you think about these unprecedented lockdowns in China and some of the protesting that we're seeing?
Well, your heart has to go out, obviously, to anybody going through this kind of draconian, pointless, inhumane tomfoolery, because it's not doing anything other than persecuting people. I mean, it's doing nothing for this mild, hyped-up pathogen that never merited this kind of hypochondria. But of course, the amusing thing, if there's anything amusing about it, is how people are up in arms about the right to protest all of a sudden. And these, the freedom fighters in China, but they're anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists and science deniers if they do it here. So when we say jump, and you're supposed to say how high, when the Chinese do it. So it is, and they don't even make any explanation. You would think that somebody with that being in recent memory, at the very least, would have to say, well, you know, this is different from when we were doing it. It's not different at all, except maybe by degrees of magnitude. But there's not even the remote attempt. It's just, well, I can just switch gear.
And I agree. And
you see that because, I mean, you see that even when, and this is a very different thing, but people have been very annoyed about the Qataris not wanting people to drink beer and being rather heavy-handed with journalists. And we all decry that. But of course, on the other hand, journalists and others were being truncheoned and bludgeoned and, shot with water cannons and everything else, or just not covered on our end of things. But that seems to, again, be all right.
And it's quite strange.
Sarah, please go ahead.
Sorry, there's a cut. Yeah, sorry to cut you off, Omar. I was just thinking it's quite strange, you know, because I'm based in Melbourne, to see the outrage over, and rightly so, over these tanks. I think it was a tank that we saw sort of quite close to the protests in China, was really reminiscent for me of Melbourne when we had CERT, which is the critical incident response teams, roll out their sort of vehicles that's across between a Land Rover and a tank into Melbourne. And they weren't spraying people with water. You know, these guys were using plastic bullets. And there's far more outrage about it happening in China than when it happened here in Melbourne. But for my money, you know, people likened it to, you know, we're going to have another Tiananmen Square. For me, what will go down in history as the next Tiananmen Square was watching that door be welded up on a building shortly before it caught fire. Yeah. Did you see that footage?
Oh, yes. It was horrifying. But, you know, if you look at it, again, there degrees of magnitude matter. Of course they do. But you know and I know that in Canada, they were trying to lure kids into getting jabs by giving them ice cream cones.
Yeah.
And there were police stationed to keep parents at bay, lest they interfere. So these kids who can't vote, who can't have underage sex, can't smoke, but they're okay to authorize for themselves untested gene therapy that could affect the rest of their lives. They're supposed to be somehow competent over an ice cream cone to make that decision.
Yeah,
and then in other parts of the world, ridiculous.
Yeah, I think if people's instincts weren't alerted when we were giving away pizzas and ice cream, and I remember, I think it was the governor of New York was saying, hey, you know, you can get free fries, it's vaccine fries. I just think they were too overt. They made it too obvious what they were doing.
And on the other hand, in places like Germany and in places like Australia, internment camps were being prepared. So it's rather interesting that when you have to vacillate between an internment camp and an ice cream cone to get someone to do something that's supposedly good for them, I kept asking the question that, you know, if I stepped on a rusty nail, you wouldn't have to offer me an ice cream cone or threaten me with an internment camp to get me to take a tetanus shot.
Exactly. Absolutely correct there, Omar. No, you're quite right. And we will continue this conversation, and I will look forward to that after this short break on TNT Radio. I got news. I got news for you.
News. I got news. TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a check of your TNT headlines. The United States Space Force is working on developing an early warning system that'll track North Korean missile launches. Western news outlets and politicians have been blasted for their hypocrisy after praising Chinese citizens for pushing back against the government's COVID lockdowns while arresting and threatening to jail its own people who dared to do the same. And a court in Tokyo has ruled that Japan's ban on same-sex marriage is constitutional and therefore should be upheld.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
And welcome back to the Mike Ryan Show on TNT Radio. I am Nicola Charles, better known these days as the White Rabbit, if you follow me on Twitter or Spotify. And look, I don't want to spend my entire conversation with you, although I probably should, Omar, talking about the vaccine. But I must just ask you about this story that has fascinated me this morning. It's come out of New Zealand, and we have the parents of twin boys over there. And one of the twin boys was born perfectly healthy, and the other twin boy was unfortunately born with a heart defect that will need an operation to save his life. Now, the parents and the babies are not vaccinated against COVID-19, but this baby is going to need almost a complete blood transfusion to survive the operation. The parents have found 30 perfectly matched blood donors who are unvaccinated for their baby. And the New South Wales government, New Zealand Health, has taken these parents to court to force them to put vaccinated blood into their baby during the operation. Apparently, they wouldn't even have a conversation with them about it. These parents are already floored by the news about their baby. How do you feel about that court case, Omar?
Well, I mean, words fail you. I mean, you first of all wonder on what grounds do you object if there are volunteers who, in good conscience and in their right minds, are willing to be donors. Surely that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
The fact that the state should mandate that it must come from from some certain combination, it just shows how terrified they are that over time, there's going to be more of these patterns developing. And the more that they can co-contaminate everyone, perhaps they can hide behind the fog. And I think somebody would have to argue, I mean, I'd be fascinated to hear the argument as to, no, they should not do that because what? Or we have a state interest in stopping them from doing this. Because what? And, you know, and whenever they say they won't even discuss it, I mean, any of us who've been harassed by various government bodies, and I've certainly seen my fair share, I'm sure you have.
Certainly.
It's always determined by this characteristic of unwilling to even discuss it. That's how you know you're in the hands of a fascist.
Well, that's because right. Anybody, because
they
tell us, don't they, Omar, that it's a conspiracy theory that the state wishes to parent our children. And what do we have here? What does this look like?
Well, exactly. I mean, but the issue that the moment somebody says I'm unwilling to discuss it means I have an agenda that must not be questioned. Because if you were doing it for good reason, you'd be happy to discuss it. You'd be happy to show them the error of their ways. Right? I mean, but just to let you know that vaccine madness is not just in New Zealand. I wonder if you saw this little piece that the Indian government is getting sued by petitioners for vaccine side effects because there they don't have immunity. And you know, they never went with mRNA. They shut down Pfizer because Pfizer wouldn't do a safety trials in India.
Yeah.
Up to the rigor and standard the Indians demanded. But now the Indian government is, get this, and I'm reading a headline here, blaming the public for getting vaccines despite being aware of side effects.
Oh, goodness me. And that is so
unfair. It says
unfair.
They cannot be held liable for any injuries. You should have known better. While you were being harassed, while in some parts of India, they were literally shooting people, drowning them for not taking it. No, they were evolved provinces where ivermectin and other cocktails like Uttar Pradesh, Goa and others that are wonderful role models for all of us. But certainly it's a federal system, and there were other states which were just ghastly, a bit like the United States. I just thought that was very interesting that the Indian government is now not claiming that those aren't dangerous. They're just simply saying you should have known better.
It's interesting, isn't it? One of the things that I've noticed about this pandemic as it's rolled on, and I think this is one of the reasons they have an issue with social media, I'll be honest with you, is that sometimes within our own nations, they tell us things, they dictate to us, because that's literally what it's become, information as if the internet doesn't exist, because you've already at that point in history got conflicting information coming from other countries like this. One country is being told to still put it into babies as young as 6 months old. Another country is saying that no one under the age of 14 should have it. And it's as if the internet doesn't exist, as if we're not all talking in the town square. And I genuinely believe that's why they have a problem with their CIA orchestrated social media. But that's interesting from India, because there's a case in New South Wales in Australia where they're now saying that it is possible for members of the public who have issue with this to sue doctors. And that actually, even though Scott Morrison said doctors were indemnified, as it turns out, they're not.
Scott Morrison may discover to his everlasting chagrin that his saying something doesn't make it so. this is a wake-up call for politicians far and wide. It doesn't stop them. You know, I mean, Biden, you know, in his, you know, in whatever throes of dementia he may be in that day, repeatedly keeps saying, well, you know, you take the vaccine and then it doesn't spread. Or save other people's lives. I mean, come on, even Bill Gates doesn't say that anymore.
He's gone away, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, Gates at the 92nd Street Y in New York was giving an interview and said, well, you know, how we didn't realize it was kind of low fatality, flu. Oh, Jesus, Bill.
All the people that got deplatformed from every social media platform for saying that, it's quite incredible.
And people for saying, and that's the nub of it, right? It's for saying it. It's not even that anyone bothered to investigate the claims. I remember absolutely. This well-known virologist, and I'm forgetting his name now, who had said way back in April 2020, he said, why is everyone locked up? He said, I've been a virologist, basic virology. When you have a virus, you go outdoors. You don't stay indoors. You go into germicidal air and, you know, the sunlight kills the viruses. That's why we all go out. That's why these all decline in spring. And so he said, why are you locking people up where there's no ventilation? Whatever the other merits of it may be. And, of course, he was immediate. People attacked his crew. Oh, my God, there was a feeding frenzy. For him having uttered this just a truism that go outside, breathe. And now we've known there's not even one confirmed global case of outdoor transmission.
I think it's behind all this climate change stuff, Omar, because, you know, everything life on Earth on this planet flourishes under the light of the sun, ultraviolet light. And now they're apparently spraying things into the air, little reflective particles, because we don't want global warming. Well, I can tell you here in Melbourne, we've had no spring. It's rained constantly to the point where the Monash candles, Carols by Candlelight, has just been cancelled. And it's just utterly ridiculous. They know that UV light is good for us, it's good for plants, it's good for animals. Now, one thing they can't deny on social media, and this is my last jab-related comment to you, Omar, is that there have been 104 cases of monkeypox in Israel, and 95% of Israel is jabbed. And that's from the Ministry of Health. So that's not a conspiracy theory. That's not misinformation. But I can guarantee you now, if I go and write that on Twitter, I will be sanctioned in some way, shape, or form. What do you think about all these monkeypox cases in Israel?
Well, you know, the fact that we're even talking about monkeypox, I don't mean why you're raising it. You're perfectly right to raise it because of this anomaly between the high jab rate and the propensity to pick up everything, it seems, to die from everything, to be allergic to everything, to be susceptible to everything. But, you know, monkeypox has been such a non-event in the global mortality sweepstakes that why it's even being discussed when we don't discuss clear killers.
Yeah.
You know, everything from processed foods, everything, you know, to stress and hypertension and diabetes and all those cardiac screenings that didn't happen and all the cancer screenings that didn't happen, the number of auto accidents and blah, 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 on and on we go. Monkeypox, for God's sake, I mean, you just have to look at it and say, this was another desperate attempt. Now there's another, I don't know if you've seen this, there's another attempt to claim there's a new variant out of South Africa that may be the most lethal yet. Have you come across that yet?
No, COVID. I haven't come across that. But, you know, it's just ridiculous to me.
But it says, your listeners might be amused, though I love this quote by Upton Sinclair, it is difficult to get a man to understand something when his salary depends on his not understanding it.
That's marvelous. I love that. How's that for a name? Upton Sinclair. What a wonderful name.
Exactly. So the South African laboratory study says there's a COVID-19 virus that could emerge, could cause worse illness than the current predominant Omicron strain. But that would be easily achieved because Omicron is kind of lethal to no one and was the Christmas gift last year, as it actually provided the vaccination that we couldn't get from this, you know, the dodo fake vaccines. But the idea is that if you just look at that language, right? Could, might, may.
Propaganda, and so
the headline is, next COVID-19 strain may be more dangerous, lab study shows. So lab study shows it may. And if you were to ask who produced the study?
Yeah, exactly. They're compromised. Who produced the study is sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. It's the same the world over. I think
well,
what
it
they're
was
trying
supported
to do
through Bill and Melinda Gates. It absolutely was. No, I'm not kidding. It says the study led by Alex Siegel at the Africa Health Research Institute, Durban, South Africa, was supported through an award by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And he, by the way, Mr. Siegel, received under competing interests, it says, an honorarium for a talk given to Pfizer employees.
Right. So, you know, I'm starting to think that Mr. Bill Gates and his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation has sort of crowned himself the king of the world. They are definitely trying to wear us down with the propaganda and the fear porn. There's more coming. I don't think I've ever seen anyone flog a dead horse as much as they flogged their little COVID plan. And I think at this point, a lot of people are on the same page as me, and these are my friends and family who are jabbed and unjabbed, is that whatever COVID strain or whatever else they've got sort of bubbling away on their Bunsen burners in labs, we're quite happy to take our chances with it. So when we come back, Omar, we're not talking about COVID-19. I'm done with it. This has been TNT Radio. We're off to a short break. I'll see you soon.
We're saved. Climate activist Greta Thunberg is suing her native country of Sweden for failing to make the climate better.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Greta Thunberg has been joined by 600 plaintiffs in the Swedish case. Greta is suing the Swedish government for, quote, insufficient climate action. Greta claims that the state of Sweden has carried out climate policy that, quote, threatens our human rights. It breaks the law. So Greta Thunberg actually believes that a lawsuit forcing the Swedish government to act on climate will result in an improved climate, less storminess? Humans used to believe that witchcraft trials would bring about less crop failure and less food shortages during the Middle Ages. The question looms. Have we advanced since medieval times? Yes, you too can sue your government to improve the weather. What a novel concept. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio.
Children in poverty, each one unique, each one full of dreams. They're our hope, our future. They're the reason Children International exists. When the whole world changed, we developed new ways to reach children and families in poverty during these vulnerable times.
I'm learning every day.
I'm healthy and strong.
To learn more, go to children.org/help today.
My neighbor is so excited. He just filled up his gas tank for $28. The bad news is it was his lawnmower.
I got the high.
This sucks.
The high gas prices blues.
Come on, man.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Oh, TNT Radio, you do make me laugh. Filled up his gas tank for $28, and it was his lawnmower. As a driver of a diesel 4x4, I found that very funny. Welcome back to the Mike Ryan Show on TNT Radio. I'm Nicola Charles, better known as the White Rabbit, filling in, and we've got our fantastic guest, Omar, with us today. Omar, I wanted to talk to you about something that's been bothering me and a lot of people for a long time, and that's the subject of Julian Assange. Now, for my money, Julian Assange was not the first freedom fighting truth teller. That would have been Jesus Christ, I think. But Julian Assange has really committed no great crime for me. And Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister of Australia, has said that it's time this matter is brought to a conclusion. Wow, the first thing I've agreed with Anthony Albanese over. And he says that he has personally lobbied the US government to drop the charges. How do you feel about that, Omar? Do you think it's going to happen?
Well, you know, expecting sanity from the U.S. government is always a dicey business. they have a very hard time admitting that, you know, anything that they do has consequences. I mean, whether you go from the Vietnam War all the way through to the Iraq fiasco, and you know, Syria and everything else, I mean, just the casualties that if you were doing a dispassionate tally that you could associate with American foreign policy is frightening. Now, in the case of Julian Assange, he hit them kind of where they live, and they want to sort of make sure nobody would ever conceive of telling the truth or letting the public know what's going on ever again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's chilling. I mean, that, and the fact that I know he was in an Ecuadorian embassy for a while, but now that he's languishing in some British hole of a prison for all this time, waiting to see if he's going to be.
I beg your pardon.
I mean, it, you know, it's terrifying. I mean, you think at least what is the reason that he has to be held under those circumstances? When you look at, for example, Snowden, he at least received, I guess, some measure of clemency from those dastardly Russians. And he's been able to set up a new organization and write. You know, I think they want to also make sure that if they ever do drop charges, that Assange would be a broken man. That's what they're hoping for.
That's really open sad.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, they don't want the guy. I mean, he said he doesn't believe he'll get a fair trial. I mean, surely he's been tried and tried. Surely it's time served by now. You know, what does the world gain by throwing him in a bottomless pit somewhere in the U.S. system so they can, you know, valorize something they've chosen to call classified?
Yeah.
So, no, it's terrifying. And I think the journalists around the world have pushed back. Governments have pushed back. But the so-called special relationship that the UK and the US enjoy has not been shown in a very complimentary light from the British authorities. Because you would have thought that they could have said, look, enough's enough.
Yeah, I mean, surely he's a martyr at this point. They've made more of a hero of the guy than anything else.
One of the hallmarks of most extradition treaties is that you can't be extradited on political grounds. And if this isn't a political ground, I mean, you're entitled. I mean, most, it depends on the actual treaty, but in most cases, if they suspect there's a political justification rather than an actual crime for which the person hasn't answered, they're entitled to say, sorry, not doing it. And you would think that's fairly established in the case of Julian Assange.
That's good to know, Omar. That means I'm safe because all of my issues are political.
Well, they just have to acknowledge that, though. I mean, I mean, you and I and everybody else who might come under that kind of scrutiny have to be careful because it may be very clear that it is political, but unless, you know, it's reeking, they can obviously tap dance around it. You know, it's a bit, you know, like, why did they get Al Capone on tax evasion? Because that's the only thing they could.
I feel like Julian Assange will eventually be released, and I think he will make a claim for damages that is so enormous. But, of course, you can't replace all those years that he's had away from his life and his children. It's just heartbreaking because there are plenty of people out there in the world, and we see it all the time on our socials, that have done, in my opinion, much more heinous crimes. And, you know, that there are paedophiles that spend 2 days in jail, we learned this week, before getting released. So this is just crazy. Now, we're in the last part of the show, Omar, so I just did want to get onto this Balenciaga scandal. I don't know if you're across that.
Just before you do, I'll say just one line on what we were on. The thing people had hoped for, the Trumpers, was that before he left office, at least he could have shown some backbone by pardoning Assange and Snowden. That he didn't. Well, anyway, so yes, Balenciaga.
I think they threatened to close Trump's bank accounts down, Omar. I think that's part of it. But yeah, Balenciaga, because my issue with Balenciaga is not that a top-end fashion brand has no taste, no morals, no principles. I would expect that, having been a model myself for a number of years. But what's shocking to me is that this so-called left-wing celebrity, Kim Kardashian, who is their figurehead, has not parted company with them. And it just goes to show that for some people, the dollar is king and morals and morality don't really matter. How do you feel about that?
Well, I raised this issue last week with Mike. And I know that at that time it was just breaking news, and it's now become something that we are all looking at with just shock and horror. I think, you know, there are some people who think, well, all news, there's no such thing as bad publicity, as long as you then shut down and say, oh, we made a mistake, it was misconstrued. And, you know, could it be the case that everybody now knows who the hell Balenciaga is? You know, could it really have been that orchestrated that they said, you know, we'll just back away, we'll blame the photographer, which they did. And now at least everybody knows who the hell we are.
And, yeah, that's true.
I hope not.
It is really quite an incredible piece of marketing for sure. And you know what? As I said, I was a model for 25 years and I was with Elite in London. So I've worked with some top end clients. And I can tell you now, particularly when it comes to those glossy fashion magazines that carry the Balenciaga advertising campaigns, nothing, absolutely nothing goes on those pages without high level approval. And I'm talking literally with a microscope. They get there on the light box and they look at these pictures with a fine tooth comb to see if there was a hair on the lens of the camera, to see if something is out of place or there's a dirty finger mark on a piece of furniture. So there's no way that this is real and they can blame the photographer, because this was absolutely approved by an editor before it was released.
I also think our tastes have become terrifying to me. I mean, because people are not present, because they don't nourish their senses, and they can't appreciate anything that is not shocking, vacuous as it may be, insulting as it may be, puerile as it may be, debased as it may be. But that's what it takes. I mean, you just to see the crap that's coming out on the movie screens. It's all competing with itself to see how noisily banal can it be.
Yeah, I agree. And they're doing it all over. Okay, this is how they're attacking our children. And it started a few years ago when, it was interesting because they've wanted to put these devices, these smartphones, into the hands of younger and younger children. And, of course, as soon as they put these smartphones into the hands of children, children were able to access pornography. And that's exactly what happened. And at the time when that was going down and they were sort of being given smartphones for Christmas, my children were in primary school and they were coming home and telling me the true horror of what children can access. And just like you were saying, it desensitizes them to everything.
Yeah.
And it sexualizes underage kids. So yeah, it's not good at all.
When you see, you know, this world that they want to create, and there's this wonderful now website that's gone up called notourfuture.org, I think Hart wrote about it, where people are posting videos saying this is not our future, and they're pushing back. And I think they have to, because people don't realize where this is, what the future of gated communities, of non-ownership, of eating bugs, of being identified by your medical status, in or out, who is it that looks forward to this? I mean, even if you were the people profiting from it, eventually you want to go and get away to, I don't know, Mauritius or Seychelles. Well, who's going to be running that? All of these people will be locked up in cages getting jabbed and dribbling out of the side of their mouth while feeding you grasshoppers. So that's, yeah. I mean, what these people dream of.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. It's just crazy. And look, if the very wealthy 1% want to live in this digitized, terrifying, dystopian sort of Blade Runner. Yeah, it's exactly. It's Blade Runner-esque. It's what was that Tom Cruise film, Minority Report, you know, and there's all this pre-crime and we're going to have all this data on you and we're going to know everything. Well, you know what? You may know what I did this morning when I clicked on a red jacket. You may know what I did yesterday when I looked at puppies, but I'm a human being and I evolve, and it doesn't mean that you know who I'm going to be tomorrow or in a week or in a year's time. Listen, Omar, I wanted to say a massive thank you to you. I really hope I get to speak to you again.
Likewise.
Thanks, buddy. Have a really great day.
All right, you too. Bye.
Take care, Omar. And so we will be continuing into the second hour on the Mike Ryan Show. And I really appreciate you listening in. If you've got any messages for us, you can go to Twitter and go to at TNT Radio Live, or you can go to at All Bite No Bark 88.